Well, it is good to see you tonight. Thank you so much for being here. We are going to kind of share a little bit tonight some things. This past Sunday, I went to several of our Sunday school classes and passed out some little questionnaire type things. There were basically four questions on there, and got some of our senior adult classes to respond to those. And so we kind of took those up, and I'll have some of that for you tonight. Also, Brother Michael went to some of the younger classes, and he shared the same questions, and we got those responses. So we've had a chance to kind of get together and look at things. And our goal tonight is for us to see basically something that you know anyway, but you can be reminded that although we may be coming from different generations and we may look at things in different ways, we're a church and we are one. And although we have older folks that may remember things one way and younger folks that look forward to things one way, we still have common things that bind us together, like the old song says. And so I think that's kind of where we're going to go tonight. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 5, and we'll get this over here real quick. You know that scripture well. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, it says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." So often we use that verse, "Forsake not the assembling yourselves together." We're not talking about that part, because we're coming together. But we want to make sure that when we come together, we come together. Because so often we can come, and if we have different agendas, that's not a good thing. Okay, so here's the setup for it. I'm from Mobile. Most of y'all know that. My mom worked for a doctor, and I was telling some of the fellas yesterday, one of the patients that the doctor saw was Hank Aaron's father. So, got to tell my Hank Aaron story. There was a ball game going on. I think it was a preseason game because it goes back several years. The game took place in Atlanta. In this preseason game, the Atlanta Braves were taking on the New York Yankees. Since they're different divisions, back then they didn't play each other, so the age span, you'll understand why I say that in a minute. So they were playing each other in a preseason game. Well, if you know anything about baseball, you know that one of the goals of the folk in the field is to distract that fellow who comes up to the plate to bat. So the story goes, and it's a true story, that as several folk went through the batting rotation and all that, and so Hank Aaron comes up to the plate. If you don't know, Hank Aaron is the home run king, 755 home runs. Okay. Hank Aaron comes up to the plate. Lo and behold, the catcher for the New York Yankees is none other than Yogi Berra. And if you know anything about Yogi Berra, that's enough right there. You know that he is what he is. Well, consider that Yogi is what he is, and consider that he's part of that fielding crew that's trying to distract him. Well, Yogi Berra was really good at distracting folks. So he's right there, knelt down, where Hank Aaron is batting. And so the pitches start to come in, and Yogi Berra is saying, "Oh, your mama don't even think you can hit." And he just ignored him. And Hank is going like this. And so while he's doing that, he says, "You got mud on your shoes." And Hank Aaron doesn't even fool with it. He just sits there and he watches it. And then he says, "Oh, about a swing." And all the things that you can think of that someone would do to dissuade and to get that batter distracted. Several pitches come in. I don't know if the count was full at that time or not. But at one point, as all that distraction is going on, the pitch comes in, Aaron swings the bat, and he lays into one. It goes out of the park, home run. And so here goes Hank Aaron trotting around the bases, and he comes back. And when he gets to home plate, he picks up the bat. And I forgot to tell you a really important part, so I'm sorry about this. So go back with me for a second. We're all friends, aren't we? One of the things Yogi Berra told him was, "Hey, batter, the trademark's crooked. Hey, batter, the trademark's upside down." And y'all know what the trademark is, because that's for aluminum bats. It's kind of an oblong thing on the bat. So he hits the home run. Now we fast forward to it. He comes back. He picks up the plate, the bat, and he starts to walk back. He turns and he looks at Barry and says, "I ain't come to read." Well, he didn't. He didn't come to read. He came to do what he did. He hit a home run, and he did what he came to do. So the question is, what do you come to do when you come to church? It's a very good point. And whatever it is that you come to do, let it be known that there are others who come to do the same thing, but maybe in a different way. So that's kind of the setup for where we're going tonight, and Brother Michael's got it. So take off, bro.
Well, I didn't realize we were supposed to have jokes, so I'll just read the Bible. Or a setup. Okay. So the first topic that we want to cover, and I don't have the exact questions in front of me, but I know it said something about how does the building and the facilities and, you know, the church building, you know, what we see, the physical church, how does it help you to encounter God? And so with every one of these topics, we tried to look at some passages in the Bible that we thought were related to those topics. So I'm going to start by reading John 4, verses 19 through 24. We thought it related to this topic pretty well. It says, verse 19, "Sir," the woman replied, "I see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, yet you Jews say that the place to worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus told her, "Believe me, woman, an hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, because salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. Yes, the Father wants such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." I guess I'll just start by naming, talking about some of the things. I polled the college and young adults, so anywhere from age 18 up to my class, which were young marrieds, and then we had the other young marrieds class, who's a little bit older than us, and we stole that title from them. So they're the somewhat young married class, I guess. They go up to maybe early 40s. Is that right? That's right. Okay, something like that. Anyway, so my job is kind of to represent the younger half of the generations that are represented in the church, and some of the responses we got to this question is how does the building help you encounter God? We had a just for the record, we had a few that say absolutely nothing. I could worship out in the field or wherever, or it doesn't matter what the building looks like. I can, you know, it could be a shack. But for the most part, most people said they wanted a safe place to worship. A lot of people have, the younger generation has families or kids. They wanted a place that they could come in and worship safely. They wanted a place that they could come in and get away from distractions from the outside world. And one of the biggest responses was they wanted a place that they can just join others in worship, which I think tells me outside of these walls, there's not a whole lot of interaction, or there is probably a whole lot of interaction with those that are not Christians. They wanted a place they could come together and worship together. And one of the big ones, especially for the ones with kids, that they wanted a safety for their kids, a place that they can raise their family and worship God kind of in a safe environment and I guess help raise their kids. And so I thought all this was very interesting because I thought the same things. But one of the points I noticed as I got to reading them, and we were talking yesterday about some of this, is I found myself to worship better when I'm outside of all these comforts, when I don't have the air conditioning, when I don't have the nice carpeted floors and the cushioned seats, like places like the Memphis Union Mission, where we were in a swamp almost, places like Honduras, where it's a dust storm and people are yelling who knows what because we can't understand them around the tent, when there's kids running and dogs running at our feet, things like that. And so I agree with a lot of responses that we got that I want a safe place to worship. But I've also found it intriguing that the places that I seem to have worshiped and really connected with God the most are those places where I am uncomfortable and the places where it isn't sanctified and holy like a sanctuary you think it would be. So I don't know if that helps anything, but you can go from there.
Okay, I will. Well, and I agree. When Michael's talking about a safe place, and I guess this dates how long I've been here, but I remember one of the things we did after we came was to put into action the idea about screening forms for children's workers. You know, that wasn't a thing that was done back in the day. That when I was growing up, you know, we're just glad to get somebody in the room to work with them kids. But we realized, and I think this is one of the things that our younger generation realizes is important, and I think we can relate to that as a middle-aged to older generation, that although you do want people to work with them, you don't want just anybody working with them. Because you read the papers, you see the news reports, there are people out there nowadays that will do just about anything to gain an audience with our children and folk where they can come in. And so we're grateful that we have a church that has enacted that, and we keep up with it, and we continuously do background checks, and I think it's a good thing. So much of what came in with ours dealt with the actual building itself, and they talked about it being a clean, comfortable place, and they talked about how much they enjoy interacting with people. I kind of agree with what Michael said. I think through the years, at least in the ministry that I've had, what I have seen when God has worked and really done some great works, it's been when people were out of their comfort zones. Now, in my ministries, it has been like a youth camp or at a college retreat or something like that. And I think the idea of it is when we're kind of out of the element, so to say, where we're not where we can get back to our TV and look and see what's going on that day, when we're completely away. And I think that is a great time for anybody when we can allow God to speak to us. But I will hasten to say that nowadays that's got to be even more difficult because of these things that are in my pocket here. These phones, because we take them with us, and we have the news at just a push of a button, and we have people that can contact us in a matter of seconds. I remember back in our day, you know, unless you were at the house, you didn't get disturbed because you didn't get a phone call because you didn't have a phone. And so those are kind of some things. But as far as this church itself helping us to encounter God, just the fact that it's a clean place, that it's a comfortable place, and that it's a good meeting place. And aren't you glad that as we finish up this first section, some of the things that weren't mentioned is that it helps us worship God by the color of the carpet? How many times have I heard people preach and speak and use it as illustration that people get so upset about the color of the carpet and how important that is, or different furniture decor? And nobody said that. And I praise the Lord for that. I think what's most important, and I think we agree on this, is that it's what's most important is our relationship and having an encounter with Jesus Christ. So that's a great thing. Well, there's another question that we want to kind of go to, and that question was, in your opinion, why is it important for people in your stage of life, whatever that may be, to be involved in church? And because it's easy to make that decision not to be involved in church. To me, the verse of Scripture, the passage of Scripture that I thought immediately of with this is found in John chapter 21. We know this story. It's after Jesus had been raised from the dead, and he's on the seashore with Simon Peter, and he's gone through the different situations of feeding my sheep. And there's two verses at the end that I think may speak or help speak to this. The Bible says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whether thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hand, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. To me, I think one of the things about that I see in my life and reflected in some of the answers is that some of the older generation, we've been to that point where we've been young and we feel like we could conquer the world and we could have these great ideas and we could do all this stuff. But a lot of us now are in that phase of our life where it is, you know, others are going to take us maybe where we don't wish to go. But to me, what the interesting thing is, at the end of that passage of Scripture, there's two little words. It says, follow me. That's what Jesus would have us to do, whether we're thinking up these ideas or whether we're going along. What's important is that we follow him. I can say for a fact that senior adults are here in this church, and it's a great thing to have them here. I get the privilege of working with them, and I want to tell you something. Senior adults have a lot of life experiences. You may be going through something in your life that you don't know what in the world to do about, and I'm here to tell you there may be five people in this church that have been through the same thing. It could be a help to you. And so I think that's a great thing. Life experiences. But I will hasten to say that it's not just the experiences of older folk, because everybody goes through experiences. I can think of a couple of folk that I have been privileged to know in my ministry that are younger than me, that have been through traumatic things in their life, that have buried children. I can't begin to imagine what that must be like. And I love to be around them and just see how they tick. Because I want to tell you something. I don't know if I could handle some of the stuff they handle. God has taught them some lessons. And I'm here to tell you that if God taught them, I want to learn them. So it's good to be around them. I thought it was so cool. One of the things that were written on mine, it said, life is too short not to believe in God. Now, this is something that's coming from an older folk. Older person that says life is too short. Hello? Life is too short when you're 75 years old not to believe in God. Even at that age, we can realize how important it is to believe in God.
A lot of the responses that we got, and I think a lot of the things that I feel as well is, as a younger generation, we had a lot of people that said, and a lot of people that believe they want to be involved in church, or it's important for Christians at their age to be involved in church to simply stay out of sin. there's a whole lot in front of them that they're faced with, and yet they need that support group. They need people speaking positive into their lives, because as soon as we walk out those doors, we're hit with every negative thing possible. People are trying to push, especially it seems the younger you get, the closer to the 16 to 20 range, probably you're hit with every advertisement out there, everything the world has to offer. But yet a lot of people that age that have their head on straight, I would say, or at least that are trying to follow God, realize that being involved in a church is a place that they can come to stay away from those things, to stay away from sin, to try to keep the positive in their life and keep the negative out. Another thing that was mentioned was to prepare to witness, to get training, to figure out how do I go out into this world and be a Christian? How do I go share the gospel? How do I emulate Jesus in the world that I live in today? And another one was accountability, which kind of goes with the first one. And then decisions about the future. A lot of people at a younger generation are facing big decisions, like the first time to buy a house, or whether it's time to, if you're looking to have children, whether this is the right time, or should I move across the country for this job? How will it affect me? All these decisions that they need help with, really. They realize they need help. They realize that they can't do it on their own. And so church is a place that they come where they can get that support. So I think the first part of those answers really differentiate from some of the older generation, because I think a lot of the older generation have been there and done that kind of thing. They may be past the sowing your wild oats. They may be over making a lot of the really big decisions in their life, and they're kind of set where they are in a way. They've already been trained for years and years and years on how to witness, and it's not necessarily that they feel like they're perfect at it, but that they know how to do it. They're comfortable with it, and so a lot of younger people are still struggling with some of that. But one of the biggest things that was mentioned and that that I really think is important is Bill mentioned that we had several people say that they were looking to take their life experiences and pour them into others. And so as a young adult in the church, that's something I look forward to. That's something that I like to look at some of the older generation and simply sit down and talk with them, figure out what they've been through and how can they help me. I've had especially even younger in the youth, I remember looking up to some of the college kids at the church and them being able to tell me things that I'm going to experience in the next couple of years and how do I get through it in a godly way, or how do I lean on Jesus for some of that.
You know, Mike, I think a good thing about that is I remember years ago we had a staff member's wife, and she stood up and gave testimony in the service, talked about how that she wanted some older ladies to pour into her life and looked for a way to do it, and she never could find it. But I think that we've got some good things going on in that respect, yeah. Because I know the muffins.
Yeah, that muffins ministry.
Yeah, that muffins thing. I just remember the food part. But the muffins thing, I know they do a lot of stuff, and we have a good mix of people that come to that, some of our older ladies and some of our young. And I hear some things sometime from out of that are just really good, and it makes me realize that we have some of that taking place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and one thing that my wife really loves is Miss Joyce gets all the staff ladies together, and she's able to interact with some of the, I won't say senior adults, but some of the older adults, and gets to get a different perspective, you know. That's why I said not seen. Anyway, so I know she enjoys the time to be able to have somebody that's had more experience in kind of in their shoes to start out in ministry. As a wife of somebody that's in ministry, and for her to get the knowledge from them and encouragement and whatever else from them. And so as much as sometimes we may not even show it as a younger generation that we want that, because sometimes we show that we have it all figured out. Sometimes we think we have it all figured out. But a lot of times some of the younger generation is here because they want to hear from the older generation. They want to learn. They want to not have to go through life the hard way sometimes, and so anything that we have here that we offer, I know we've had something over spring break where we had some of the older generation. We purposely paired them up with some of the younger generation. Please be involved in that, because the younger people are looking to hear from you and to be encouraged by you, and to learn from you, I guess. Anyway, so I guess just to wrap this section up, with some of the stuff where it's important to be involved in church for some different reasons, but I think at the core of it all, we're all trying to help each other out. We're all trying to pour into each other's lives. We're all trying to disciple one another, and whether some of the younger generation can offer some new perspective to some of the older generation, or maybe some of the older generation can really speak truth and knowledge into some of the younger generation. I guess we should just say, do that. And please take part in that, because that's why a lot of us are here. All right, so the next question is kind of a two-part question. The first thing we asked was, what is it that your generation expects from the church? And then kind of to tie in with that, it's what is it about your generation, or what's unique about your generation that you can offer to the church? And so the verse, the passage we tied this to was Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 13. And it says, "And he personally gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the training of the saints in the work of the ministry, to build up the body of Christ until we all reach unity in the faith and knowledge of God's Son, growing into a mature man with the stature measured by Christ's fullness." And so we chose that verse because there was, it gave different leadership roles, I guess, in the church. And we felt like each person has a different role in the church. And that's why, you know, so what can your generation expect from the church? This one was a big topic for some of the people that answered this question. And one of the things that I noticed is we as a younger generation expect a professional experience. I don't know how else to put that. We expect the really nice videos, the best technology, the coolest looking building, because that's what we have outside of these walls. Everything we run into with you know, Starbucks and the way that everything is designed, and so as a generation, and it's probably even more towards the younger generation that I'm speaking of, kind of expects a professional experience. But yet on the other end, all those people that said that also said, but we don't expect that. When we come to church, we just expect to meet with God. And so and that's why they're here. That's why they're at our church. We don't have the lasers and the fog and the you know, the blacked out sanctuary and on a stage putting on a presentation. And so our generation sometimes expects that. But what some of these people have realized is that's not what I need, or that's not even really what I want. What I want is a genuine experience. I want that face-to-face kind of personal relationship with Jesus. I want that experience that, you know, when I leave, I didn't see a show, but I took part in worship. I met with God while I was there. And so that's some of the things that our generation expects. And just a few other things, and something that I would echo for sure too is a lot of people, the younger generation have children, small children, all the way up to youth, some college, and some of these people that we polled. So they expect a strong children's ministry or youth ministry. They expect a place that they can bring their children and learn about Jesus. One of the first things we do when we get home with our kids is, what did you talk about? I want to know that my kids have talked about the Bible. I don't want to come home from church and say, and them say, oh, we watched a movie. Even if it's VeggieTales, we watched a VeggieTales. I want to know that they were they read God's word, that they were taught a story out of the Bible, and luckily they always have an answer. So I guess they're doing a good job here, at least since I've had kids. So a strong ministry for their kids. And also, several people said, I expect from the church that they're reaching the lost and that they're helping the needy in the community. That's what they expect out of us, out of a church. And so I would say, to go along with a lot of these expectations we have that our younger generation has as a church, those expectations are great, and that's what we want to hear. That's what I would expect also. But the biggest thing that we talked about yesterday when we were going over some of these questions are that to get those expectations met, we need people to be here to serve. Sometimes your ministry area may not be as strong because, one guy can't do it. You can't hire a guy on staff and expect him to do all the work. A lot of times we call on volunteers to be able to make things work and to be able, things to go smoothly and to meet those high expectations. And so we want that professional experience, but my generation, I don't think, is always willing to put the time in to make it happen, if that makes sense. I guess I would just say for that part of the question, we want a professional experience, and a personal experience, but to make that happen, we've got to serve, and we have to lead out in making that experience happen for us. So.
In the same light, my generation, I know what we expect. We expect to see a choir and a choir loft. We expect to see robes on them when we get a chance. We expect things like that. But I would hasten to say the same thing that Michael said. Bottom line, it's not about the choir and the choir loft, and it's not about the robes on them as much as it is. You want to meet with Jesus when you come in this place. And that's the bottom line. A sobering thing that I thought was mentioned is as we get to, and I guess I'm there now, but as I get to this place in my life, it's common for the most part to look back on your life and say, wow, what have I accomplished for the cause of Christ? And I thought one of the things that was very sobering is that I expect not to be forgotten. Have you ever been to that place when you wonder, wow, things are going to go on without me. Will anybody even know that I was here? It's a sobering thought. And so I took from that that we need to make sure as we walk the halls on Sundays that we do our best to speak to people. Recently, someone told me that this was one of the friendliest churches they had ever been a part of. And I just about shouted glory because I have heard it the other way so many times. But I think that's something that we all need to work on. Go out of your way to be friendly, to speak with folk. It matters that they're here. It's important to walk slowly among people. And even some simple things. When we have evening activities, of course, we don't face it in the summertime right now because it stays light till about 9:30 or seems like. But in the winter, it gets dark early, and we have older folk who can't drive in the dark. A very practical thing. If you have an older person that lives close to you that you notice does not drive, offer them a ride. I bet they'd love to come, and we could make a place for them. But we just need to get them here. So I think, too, that a lot of our older folk have experienced, as we said earlier, a lot of things in life, and they're willing to share if they can just have that audience, that opportunity to listen. One of the things that we've talked about as staff, you know that we have combined services probably about 4 times a year. But if you notice, a lot of times, that is on a holiday weekend or some weekend when it looks like things are going to be down. As we have planned, we've talked about trying to plan those more strategically where we can be together more. Because you know what? We're all on the same team. We're all in the same family. And you know what else? I kind of like some of y'all. I think the more we're together, we're going to realize that that's the fact. We are in an agreeable state. Sometimes it's easy to be negative about something, but when we're together, I think it helps a lot of things. Well, last but not least, we have another one.
We have another part of that question. Yeah. Yeah. The second part of that question is, what is unique about you or your generation that you can offer? And most of the responses, and I would echo the exact same thing, is some of it is new perspective. We have new ideas, maybe. Different ideas. A lot of people would say that we have the energy and the ability and the time and the resources to be able to go and do. Some of the older generation aren't as accessible or aren't as able to get out and go. But some of the younger generation can go out here today in this 95-degree weather and share the gospel with people on the street, you know, when that's maybe not something that some of our senior adults are able to do physically. And so one of the things that they mentioned is just the energy and the ability to go and do. And I would say one of the last ones, it wasn't mentioned a whole lot, but I think something that I've noticed is the younger generation, I think, knows new people, different people. They have more friends sometimes. I know in my own life, just over the past 10 or 15 years, you know, I went to school and I had, just in my class over 400 people that I could see and talk to on a daily basis. I got to college and I realized there's only maybe 150 or so that I'd speak to on a regular basis. And then I got out of college and seminary and it's gone down a little more. And now that I haven't been going to campus and seminary too, it's like me and my wife and my family and the people at church. And so I guess what I'm trying to explain is that our sphere of influence tends to decrease the older we get. And so and the new people, the different people outside of the church, that number tends to decrease. And so, you know, we've talked about in staff, there's been a couple of our younger Sunday school classes that have been bringing people in left and right. We joked with one of the people, how many friends does she really even have? Because she's got, you know, 12 new people with her every month, you know, over the course of time. And so one of the things that I think that we can offer as a younger generation is just knowing the new different people. We have an opportunity to meet and to bring new people here to church that need to hear about Jesus.
I think the bottom line of it is that we all need to feel like we have value. You ever felt like you really aren't doing anybody any good? You ever feel like sometimes, you know, whether you've wanted it or not, people have kind of put you up on a shelf and just left you? Nobody wants to feel that way. And I think it's important that we all remember that we have value. Maybe some of our senior adults can't get out, like Michael said, and go and witness and get out in the heat and all that. But it was several folks mentioned, we can pray. And I know some senior adults can get a hold of the altar and pray more than anybody I know. Things that we do, we need to focus on those because we all do have value. And the other thing I would say is that encouragement to stay the course, even when times are hard. We've had some hard times in our church through the years. I remember one of the most difficult days since I have been here. It was a very draining day. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know who to turn to, who I could talk to. And there was a family in our church that invited us over afterwards. And I thought, well, are they going to pump us? What are they going to do? And all they did was hug on us. They fed us. That took a lot right there. And they just wanted us to know that we had a safe place. And they wanted to encourage us. I'm here to tell you that did a lot for me. So be noticeable of that that's going on around you, that you can encourage others as well, even when the times are hard. Last but not least, the most effective way for people in your generation to encounter God. And that's what we want, bottom line. I mean, we want people to come, but we want to encounter God. And by and large, the biggest thing that came up with ours, obviously it was the Word of God and studying the Word. One said personal quiet time, but a good sermon helps. But I think by and large, it was the idea of prayer. Whether it is a prayer circle or whether it is prayer partners, whether it's what we had in years past, a prayer wall, whatever it is. I know one that blesses my heart. I meet on Wednesday mornings with senior adults primarily, and we share prayer requests, and we have cards. And we will write a request to some of these folk who are having difficulties. Perhaps they're in the hospital. And we'll take that card and we'll just jot a note. Want you to know we're thinking about you and praying for you. Maybe we'll put a verse of scripture on there. And then we take them up and we put them in an envelope. Our pastor sends a letter with them. The next day, I turn from Bill the whatever I am, the minister, I turn into Bill the mailman. And I go to the hospital, and I say, mail delivery, and I give them to them. Many times I have stood there while they've opened them, and I have seen them weep because they knew that someone prayed for them. How are we best going to encounter God? It is through the avenue of prayer.
Yeah, and we got almost the same exact responses on this one, and that's what was so cool about it is, when it comes down to it, we're here to encounter God, and both generations thought you encountered God the same way. A lot of people stressed prayer. A lot of people stressed fellowship. A lot of people stressed getting into God's Word and reading the Bible. And then also a lot of people stressed worshiping together as a whole. And so just to kind of wrap it all up, I think it's really cool to see how even though we may be very different, we may be have different mindsets, but a lot of the things that truly matter were the same. We had the same heart and the same mind to encounter God. We just need to be together, hear God's word, speak to Him, and to worship Him together. And so that was really cool that almost all those answers were exactly the same, and it really brought a unity and made us feel like, wow, these groups are so much the same. I don't even know if we realize it, when it comes down to it, because of some of the nitpicky things that sometimes, make us forget about our relationships with each other. And I just want to close with the verse the passage that we picked for this part is 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 26. It says, "For as the body is one and has many parts, and all the parts of that body, though many, are one body, so also is Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. So the body is not one part, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' in spite of this, it still belongs to the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body,' in spite of this, it still belongs to the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed each one of the parts in the body just as he wanted. And if they were all the same part, where would the body be? Now there are many parts, yet one body. So the eye cannot say to the hand, 'I don't need you.' Or again, the head can't say to the feet, 'I don't need you.' But even more, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are necessary. And those parts of the body that we think to be less honorable, we clothe these with greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have a better presentation. But our presentable parts have no need of clothing. Instead, God has put the body together, giving great honor to the less honorable, so that there would be no division in the body, but that the members would have the same concern for each other. So if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it." And that verse really speaks to the unity and the differences all at the same time.